Thank you very much for joining me. How you been? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Steve Renazzisi. I'm the guy.
Whoa, I don't know if that was on it.
Yeah, I've never seen that.
I've never seen that either. Oh, man, that threw me off. Well, welcome back to What's the Odds with Steve Renazzisi. It's May 26, 2021, and this meeting is being recorded for your enjoyment, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining us. Brenton Biddlecombe, Lucas Hurl, and of course, no Emma this week. We are on our own technology-wise, and that's why some lady you may not have heard, may or may not have heard, started off the podcast going, this meeting's being recorded. I don't know how.
Are you sure that wasn't just Emma and she's in the Matrix now?
Dude, don't blow my... First of all, speaking of the Matrix, I feel like I'm in the Matrix because you look like a different human being. I feel like I took the red pill and now I'm staring off into my soul. What happened to you, Brenton? You lost the locks.
Got vaxed,
you got a haircut.
Dude,
I got
my shot. First thing I did was go to the barber. He was telling me about... he had a guy that was like me. His wife apparently shaved the middle of his head in his sleep because she was so pissed off with his hair. And I'm sure Cassie was pretty close to that point. So I got it done. She's much happier.
And well, you look like
on stage this week. Getting back to normal.
There you go. You look like a young man, like ready to take on the world, like a young Gordon Gekko out there, ready to Robin Hood the Wall Street elite and take it down. I welcome it. I was getting scared as you know, people were coming out of their house. Vaccinations, over 50% of the country has been vaccinated, and you still had that shaggy, you know, transitioning look to you with your hair. So I'm glad you got out of the house. I'm glad you got a haircut. It was much needed. You look like a young lesbian now. And so good luck.
I look like everything everyone's been protesting for the last year. And I feel really good about that.
Yeah. Yeah. You do look like a Nazi propaganda kid or a young lesbian, like a bull lesbian. I like it, dude. There's a lot of genres that we can check off with you. We could start an OnlyFans page. What'd you do with the hair, by the way? Did you save it?
No.
It's just there? They left it on the floor? Yeah. That whole just, year
just
of hair?
Just on the floor. Just in the trash somewhere.
All right.
Nobody wants my dirty hair.
Dude, you'd be surprised. Well, you'd be surprised. I mean, I'm sure no one wants your specific dirty hair, but people like, I'm sure, dirty hair. I'm sure that's a thing.
There's a lot of bald guys out there.
Oh, of course. People buy the craziest stuff on the internet dirty.
Remember when Drake sold the piece of lint that was in Steph Curry's hair?
No.
Remember that? You want to talk about some pop culture? It sold tens of thousands of dollars. It was a playoff game a few years back. Drake's sitting courtside. Curry comes up, and there's a picture of him picking something out of his hair, and then he put it on eBay. It was just like a piece of white lint. And sold it for like over $10,000.
That's not real.
Yeah. Steve, can you enable screen sharing?
Of course I can do that. I know how to do that. I'm very well.
I don't know what the final price was, but I know someone paid a ridiculous amount of money for a piece of lint that was in his hair.
It got up to $118,000.
There you go.
People have too much money, dude. That doesn't prove anything to me. That just proves that you can. People have too much wealth.
Yeah.
And therefore, you don't need. You know, people need to, that's why they need, you need riots and you need people to kill people. You know, you need trained
killers. Well said, Steve.
Yeah. Like you need to, there's a certain amount of violence that needs to happen to people for them not to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on hair lint. That probably wasn't the hair lint that came. You think Drake gave up the hair lint? Or do you just find another piece of lint that looks just like it sold that?
He found another piece. He has it in a drawer somewhere in a sock, and he takes it out every now and then.
This is not what I wanted to start with. I did not want to start with this fucking Drake because I watched him win the Billboard. My wife made me watch the Billboard Awards. He won the generational last 10 years, the artist of the decade. That's what I'm trying. He won the artist of the decade. And then they started playing his hits, and I was like, I think I know all these songs. And then I started playing more, and then Jonah heard, he goes, what's that song? And that song, Big Rings, you know, that song, Big Rings by Drake. I got some really big, I got a really big team. They need some really big rings. And so what are you laughing at?
You gotta be careful or you're going to win the generation award.
No, I don't want to get copyright. I don't want to get dinged by YouTube. Yeah, I'm trying to get this fucking thing up.
I think you're far enough away from the original that we'll be fine.
Dude, we've gotten so much bullshit thrown at us that I don't know. We have had conversations about athletes and they're like, whoa, 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 whoa. You can't talk about Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers like that. That's copyrighted. And you're like, what the fuck? So I got a really big team and they need some really big rings and I'm coming with no strings, ain't got no fucking strings. So that's what we're listening to. And then Jonah, of course, because we won the championship. Congratulations to our little league team. We won our tournament this weekend. So we are the champions of our little league and our division. So now we go on to the tournament of champions. All the towns and cities around us, we play each other in our thing. And then there's All-Stars for a week after that. And then I'm fucking done with baseball. Then I hand them off to the travel team in the summer. And I get in my chair with my sunscreen thing that goes over me like this. I don't have to sit out on the field and get fucking red-faced rosacea and burnt. No matter how many layers or how much shit I put on, I sweat it off in a minute. You know what I'm talking about, Lucas. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
The skin was not meant to be out in the sun at all times. And now my life has forced me out there. I'm a professional golfer. We'll get to that. And, you know, I'm part-time coach of this thing. So after like two or three more weeks, I hand it off to the travel coaches. I put on my little hat that's got the sunscreen and I sit there and I just yell from the sidelines. So congratulations. We are very excited to go to Tournament of Champions, but we were talking about getting rings this year for the team that wins the championship and our board voted it down, but the idea was already floated out there. So Jonah was like, we are the champions. We need rings. So I believe that my wife ordered some rings for the team because he goes, even Drake said, we got a really big team and we need some really big rings. And they better be coming with no strings. Speaking of rings and championships, yeah, I mentioned that I am a professional golfer. Define professional. Go ahead. A person that does something for money, correct? Correct?
Yes, but the state of California would recognize you as a professional if you've made, I believe the amount is $25,000 last year doing it.
Let's not get state by state, but in the state of California,
you're not yet a professional. Oh my God. You're a paid amateur.
This is the problem with California and I'll get to that. Too many laws, too many minutia, too many fucking this, that a professional. If I went to Bangladesh, if I went to, Brisbane, if I went to, South Africa, professional, someone that works and gets paid to do something. Correct? Yes.
Correct.
So, therefore, I, mentioning myself as a professional golfer, I have now climbed the ranks of getting paid to do what I love to do. Okay? And what I'm probably best at in the world. I competed in a golf tournament at Brookside Golf Course this past Friday. And I won it. I won my flight. I won the whole fucking thing. And I'm not going to be polite about it. And I'm not going to play it. I fucking won it. All right.
It was just a 1 day tournament.
It was a 1 day tournament.
Okay, good. Cause you sent us the text and we were all excited for you. And then I thought it was like a multi-day and then you just like tanked on Saturday. So you had no updates.
No, so one day. That was it. Boom. Done. Over 1 day tournament. I had it last Wednesday. We did the podcast. I came from a lesson, which a lot of things connected well for me in that lesson. I went out on Thursday and I shot a career low 76 on the golf course, which is 4 over par. It was unbelievable. And then, I said, well, if I can come close to this tomorrow, I'll feel good about what I did. And not only did I come close to it, I went out and matched it the next day in the wind. Very windy on Friday. Very, very windy. We played a Criers tournament, which I don't know if that's like a thing that everybody does. This is what it was for us. You get 3 holes taken away, essentially, right? You get 3 bad holes, one on the front, one on the back, and then one whatever one you want. So I went out and I parred the first two holes. I double bogeyed the third hole, and only because I messed up a chip and I left myself out of position. And then I went on and parred the rest of the holes. Par. So I was two over on the front. And then on the back, I went out and made two bogeys. And one of the bogeys was I was about a tap in. When I went to tap it in, a pine nut came out and rolled in front of it. So I stopped my putter and I gently tapped the ball. But I was honest. I turned around and goes, you guys saw that, right? And they go, yep. And so then I tapped it in. So I got a bogey there. Meanwhile, it wasn't really a bogey. But anyway, that's not the point. The point is I lost the two holes and I won the fucking tournament. I won it. And it, the sense of pride that came over me, God damn this watch. Do you hear this bell dinging? Mm. Get out of here. I try to set it up that it doesn't ding. I can't figure it out. Here's the point. The point is this. When you work for something and you get there and you know you can do it and you finally accomplish it, I was like, this is the, I haven't had this feeling since specials or like getting a part on a TV show or something. Like, it was unbelievable to me. And then going out that same weekend, watching my son win the championship on Saturday, and then watching Phil Mickelson at 50 years old win on Sunday, I was like, oh, anything's possible. And yeah, we laugh about me going pro, but you know it's going to fucking happen, right?
Yeah.
You know it is. Deep down inside, you know it's going to happen. And Lucas, I look at you right now and I say, you're smiling a little bit. You got a wry smile on. And maybe that's because you don't believe that it's actually going to happen. Or maybe it's you realize you're in a child's bedroom doing this podcast.
It's both.
Okay.
Yeah, no, Steve, I believe in you, man.
But Brent was so dismissive of me actually going pro that he just continued to walk around his palatial estate.
Rogue is eating shit, okay? I got to deal with stuff.
I ask for your attention for 1 hour a week. 1 hour a week. You can't put that dog in a cage for 1 hour a week. Please, Brenton. I did receive your invitation, by the way. Very nicely done. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I'll be deciding over the weekend whether or not. you have to give me the weekend to decide. I don't know if you guys watched Phil Mickelson this weekend, but I thought, first of all, let's give some shout outs, first of all, to our man, Court McCown, coming on the podcast last weekend. And I'm going to replay what was said.
I would really like to see it, but I don't think it'll ever happen. Is I would love to see Phil Mickelson do something special this week.
But you think
He's got the distance.
He self-admittedly doesn't have the focus, he says, to last 4 days. I mean, I think I don't think he needs 4 days. Here's how I think you could be correct. If you give him if he's on Friday afternoon and he's done with his round and he's like, oh, I'm top 10, I'm in this motherfucker. And then Saturday he goes out and stays just Saturday. He's got to get through Saturday.
By the way, an unbelievable call by Court to have the call, pull a name that no, he was 250 to one.
Jeez.
250 to one.
And he's by the way, 51st thought, birthday too.
Here's a great thing that, you know, wouldn't it be great if he told his accountant, like, hey, just every single tournament I'm in, put $10,000 on me. $5,000, whatever it is, put $5,000 on me to win. Imagine he did that this week. $2.5 million extra on top of what you just want, you know, insane. But 251 to call that. And shout out to myself and Court for figuring exactly the way it was going to go down. Like, all he had to do was stick around, and he did. He stuck around all weekend long. He had a couple blow up holes, but he never got out of control. If he put a ball in the water, he took his medicine, he took his drop, and he played in the safe shot and didn't put the big, huge number up. Avoided that at all costs, which is not normal for him, especially in major championships, because he feels like he has to go out and win it. And so he played patient, stayed within himself, realized that he didn't. I think it was helpful that Brooks Koepka sort of imploded a little bit on the back nine, and that no one really pushed him too hard on Sunday. You know, he fumbled a little bit, and they were a stroke or two apart. But then once Brooks went down, Louis Oosthuizen came around and kind of put a little pressure on him at the end. But there was really, towards the last four holes, which are probably the most difficult, on Sunday they were downwind, so they made him a little less difficult. And on top of that, he didn't have anyone breathing down his neck. So I was so happy to see him win. 50 years old, oldest person to ever win a major, which now to me is like, that doesn't seem old at all, but
yeah,
I guess it is. And I mean, before that, it was Nicholas at 46, which when I watched Nicholas in 86 win the Masters at 46, I'm like, that guy's 1,000. He looks way older, but maybe it's the TVs or high definition. I don't know. But yeah, it was just like, I did it on Friday, and I felt like my momentum pushed Jonah to do it on Saturday. And then our momentum helped Phil on Sunday just to put him over the edge and take it home. And of course, look, I know how ridiculous this sounds, but I believe it in my heart. And people online, they were very nice to me online. They were like, congratulations on your big win. A lot of people were like, what are you going to do with that $70? I think they meant it as a joke. That's what I
want. What are you going to do with it?
A $70 gift card.
Nicholson.
$70 gift card to Roger Dunn.
You tipped your caddy too, right?
I didn't have a caddy. I pushed my own golf cart. I do my own work. I do my own calculations. I'm Bryson DeChambeau and his caddy. Speaking of which, Lucas, pull that clip up. That's the greatest thing that happened this weekend. Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka. It's like As the World Turns. These two top American golfers do not like each other at all. I don't know if it's a who can lift more, whose dick is bigger, who's a better player. I some people just don't like each other. And, you know, I'd heard a little bit about it, but I guess it kind of came to fruition this weekend because Brooks Koepka was giving an interview for the Golf Channel. I don't know what day it was, but right off, you could see in the interview, right off to his camera left, his right side is I guess Bryson DeChambeau and his coach are talking or whatever, and then they just basically walk through the interview behind them, but they're walking in metal spikes, which professional golfers use, on concrete, which, you know, it sounds like a horse. You sound like a horse when you walk in. So. And you know, you have the video?
Is this it?
No, that's someone called Bryson Brooksy, and he didn't like that at all. You could play that if you want to.
Okay. Is it good? Let's try it.
What happened? Oh, I don't see it. Emma? Yeah,
I got it.
Emma?
Your meeting is being recorded.
She's out there. Can you hear it?
No. Some guy says, all right, Brooksy. Wait, now he swings and they say, all right, Brooksy. And then he looks over, he goes, whoever's calling me Brooksy needs to get out of here right now. The other one you don't really need to hear, that's, you can just see it. Just Brooks Koepka golf interview, golf channel interview. It's more of a visual one, but if you could picture as you see Bryson DeChambeau and his coach walking by, the sounds of Clydesdales on, you know, coming through, it'll make a lot of sense. And let's go to the videotape.
Yeah.
Emma? Emma, are you there? Hey, Em, how's this going? So far, so good?
They took down the whole...
Bullshit.
These pre-podcast production meetings have been really paying off.
All right. You can look it up. But, well, yeah. You know what I'm saying. Fuck. It's funny. He's just sort of, he's not happy. If it's on Instagram at Zyre Golf or a couple of those golfers doing things, all those little funny golf handles. Anyway, it was great. And I like the fact, because let me tell you something, they're going to be on a Ryder Cup team together. They're going to be in each other's face for the next 15, 20 years going at each other. Yeah, there you go. Bingo.
Is it right here?
Yeah.
All They make sure we got the tell me if this sound doesn't work.
So they're starting.
Golf course was asking a lot from you today, Brooks. What were you able to do well and put up that?
You can hear
number?
It?
Yeah.
Just ball struck my way around this place. Didn't putt well, but I don't think many guys are going to putt well with this wind. It's very tough. I don't know what other guys have said, or I just felt it difficult to read. You know, I lost my train of thought. Yeah, hearing that bullshit.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, we're starting over. We're gonna enjoy that at the TV compound.
I honestly wouldn't even care.
Do you hear what he said? So he goes, we'll enjoy that in the TV truck. And he's like, I don't care if you let that leak at all. And that's how it got leaked. You know, if that happened and he didn't want it leaked, it wouldn't have gotten leaked. But he's like, I don't give a fuck. But just throw eye roll and like this fucking guy. Like
they have history, don't they?
I mean, not really. Brooks has history with a lot of people. He's not everyone's favorite as far he's confident. He is the most cutthroat guy out there right now. He's the guy that a lot of golfers now are like, we're all pals. We vacation together. You know, we're competitors out there. Everyone's trying to do the best they can, but you want to see your other competitors do well as well. He's, I think, the most like Tiger. That's like, I want to win every one of them. I don't care if you finish second or 500th. Doesn't matter to me as long as I win. And you know, I think the whole fixation on Brooks, I'm on Bryson DeChambeau with his length and trying to swing fast and how he's sort of reinventing the game, so to speak. There's a lot of, you know, people get not jealous, but they go, oh, okay. You know, like whatever. It's not a big, like what Brooks thinks Bryson is doing is not a big deal to him. He's like, I don't see him reinventing the game. He just hits it a little longer because he works out, you know, but not as, I think if you put two of them in the cage, I think Brooks Koepka walks out. So I think that's what he thinks and that's how he thinks. And so he's alpha male-ish in that sense. And it doesn't bother him that he can, you know, hit it. Bryson can hit it, you know, as far as he does. Cause Brooks is like, I'm going to go out and win major championships. And I don't, you know, but again, golf now is like very, you know, it's a team sport in a sense now, because there are so many times where these guys get together and they play as partners or they play on a team. So they will have to play together. At the end of the year this year, they're both going to make the Ryder Cup team, barring injury, which isn't a given because Brooks Koepka's knee sucks. I don't know if you can see like how he gets down to read putts, but he gets down like an old man on the side. Like he almost has to he can't bend one knee. He's got to like keep one knee straight. So it looks really awkward. But anyway, no, I'm happy that Phil won. I'm happy that these two don't like each other. And I'm happy that I beat Court McCowan in our little bet because he had Daniel Berger plus 10. Rory was plus 6 and Cam Smith was plus 5. Okay. Now I had Justin Thomas, who didn't make the cut, but boo fucking who, he was plus 6. Keegan Bradley was minus fucking 1 and Tony Finau was even. So, yeah, don't fuck with me, McCowan. Don't come at me. And I told him this. After I won the tournament on Friday, I called him up and I go, all right. And he's like, no, for real, congratulations. You've gotten a lot better. I go, now I'm coming for you. Now it's time to, and he said to me, just go to the ATM, take out $1,000 and let's go have some fun. And I was like, not today, not yet. You sound too confident. You sound way too confident the way you just said that. So we'll wait a little bit, but I'm starting to think about that ATM purchase. Yeah. Big, big fucking weekend for us. And the big news in baseball for us since we've spoken last was Corey Kluber throwing a no hitter. First no hitter or perfect game since David Cones in 1998, almost 23 years ago. We don't get them very often in New York.
There's been like six or seven in baseball this year already, though, right?
Are they going to have to lower the mound? They might have to lower the mound again. They got six without Bumgarner's, who they should count. So, you know, I think they had consecutive nights. Didn't they have one the night before Kluber's? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Texas has gotten it twice to them. They might have to fucking shut down Texas. They might have to stop that team. If they get no hit one more time, they're going to have to like be like, guys, what the fuck's going on here? This is the problem.
They got to learn how to bunt.
Someone throw a fucking base. Who's your speediest guy? Have him lay down a bunt at this point. You know, someone do something. Corey Kluber looked great. But then, of course, it's been a week now. And then yesterday, you know, he didn't have his stuff. He gave up two runs, but he came out of the game with shoulder tightness, which is exactly what happened last year. So I'm like, did we see it? Was that it? Was that what we got? Like, we got the perfect game and that's it. We got the taste of what could be and that's it. That's all we're going to get. Was it worth it? Probably not. I'm not going to be if he's done for an extended period of time, and by extended, I'm talking like months, then was it worth it? No, it was not. No, it was not. Because fuck, could it have happened if he got lit up last week? Maybe, but I don't know. In my mind, I'm like, too many pitches, you know, no hitter, and then that's what fucked us. So we'll see. Cautiously optimistic. I haven't heard anything yet today, but I'm very happy. I mean, he pitched it. Those things are so fun to watch because you're like, oh my God, is it? And let me tell you, the shift has added so much because in the last six outs, three of them, I'm like, oh, base hit, that's it, base hit. And then the guy's standing right there. LeMahieu's standing right there, Glaber's standing, because they just know how to put people now. So congratulations, Corey Kluber. I hope that you are as healthy, as excited as you made me last week. So, and the Yankees are, you know, besides yesterday, they won, you know, six in a row. But unfortunately for them, the goddamn Rays are on a run. They've won 11 in a row. Mm-hmm. The AL East is like, you got Boston who's in first. Well, now you got Tampa who's in first, Boston, the Yankees, and Toronto still wants to be a really good team, even though they've gotten obliterated with injuries. And then Baltimore's finally like the whipping boy of but we need two. You can't have four good teams and one bad team. You can have three good teams and two bad teams. So Toronto, you got to be a fucking bad team. And I'm worried because now they're moving up to Buffalo to go play. And they were 17-9 last year at that stadium in Buffalo. That thing's like a fucking box. It's impossible not to get hits in that thing. So you think Vladimir Guerrero's had a good season till now? Wait till he gets down in Buffalo or up to Buffalo, wherever the fuck you are. Shuffle off to Buffalo. I'm worried. I'm worried that they don't know that they're supposed to be the fucking second bad team in the division. Because if they're not the second bad team, then we might be the second bad team, and we cannot be the second bad team. Because Boston, for some reason, believes that they're a good team. Tampa is a good team, and we are a good team. So fuck you, Baltimore, and fuck you, Toronto. You guys are the bad teams, and that's that. You know, every other division has their Detroit and Minnesota. They're the bad teams, right? Anaheim, Seattle, you're the bad teams. Colorado, Arizona, you're the bad teams. For some reason, that message hasn't gotten to the AL East yet. Every fucking team wants to be the good team. It's the reverse of the NFC East. Speaking of football for a second, did you guys see? I didn't even know Kenny Mayne was having, it was his last Sports Center. Did you guys know that before that actually? Yeah. You did?
Yeah.
I just saw that yesterday.
I didn't clock that at all. I had no idea that Kenny Mayne was retiring.
No.
I love Kenny Mayne. I love him. I love his dry sense of humor. I love what he brought to Sports Center. Everything before that was sort of like, you had guys that were like, you could tell they all love sports to work there, but a little more news anchory kind of guys, a little more like, hey, we're going to deliver the news, and then about, you know, smooth, charming, polished. Kenny Mayne was none of those things. He was abrupt. He was dry. I mean, he's not dead, by the way. I'm not speaking him like he's dead, but I like the way he's, you know, the way he, his calls weren't like, you know, didn't have to be big, you know, big home run. Like, that is to me hilarious. Like, that's, there's nothing better than that. So I always loved what he brought to SportsCenter. And I guess, I don't know, is it a thing where he's hopefully getting another job or doing something better? I hope he's not retiring. Do you know what he's, does anyone know what he's doing? He's not, did they fire him?
They didn't renew his contract.
That's a mistake.
Yeah.
That's a mistake on ESPN's. I know that you want, like, ESPN is now turning into an entertainment, more entertainment than sports network. It just is. It's like the morning shows are more like Regis and Kelly, and they, you know, you need a guy like Kenny Mayne. You need a guy. You don't need polished professionals coming out of these communication schools all the time. You know, you need a person like Kenny Mayne needs to be there until who's the lady? Hannah.
Linda Cohn.
Hannah.
Oh, Hannah Storm.
She needs to stay as long as she wants to too. She's fucking great. Constantly in the constantly asking questions, smart questions. Like, people like that, they should not age out of whatever these positions are, because until they decide. Kenny Mayne knows when he's not funny anymore or when he's not relevant anymore. That's dumb to me. I'm sorry that happened.
Berman's still there.
Yeah, but they have him shuffled out to whatever. It's like you gotta find Berman.
He gets 60 seconds on Sunday Night Football.
They put him and Dan Jackson, like, you know, like, you have to go find those guys. They're not, like, out in front and center. So, you know, I'm upset that Kenny Mayne, I guess, now was forced out. But the big news was that in his last show, he interviewed Aaron Rodgers for, I don't know, how long? Did you watch the interview? I didn't watch the whole thing. I just saw clips. How long was the whole interview?
I didn't see it. I just have the clip right here. If you want to play it.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
Where he at the end? Yeah. Well, all right, ready?
What? What are you laughing at, Brenton?
You know, I'm worried that we're going to get flagged for me singing Drake, and here we are playing clip after clip from different things.
Fuck these people! Why? I see other shows do this. Why? Who's coming down on us?
The volume's not working.
Mattress Mac.
Yeah. Son of a bitch.
Mattress Mac has it out for us.
Oh, we're going to stop your sponsorship. What are you doing? You're going to stop nothing. Leave us alone.
Some good news, though, Steve. Someone's contract did get picked up. I don't know if you saw this. Our friend Guy Fieri, friend of the show, longtime listener, Food Network picked up his contract. Can you guess for how much?
If you say anything over $15,000, I'm going to kill you. That's what I figured. They have Guy Fieri for 6 years for $15,000, and he should be happy that he gets the dress.
Cut the years in half and multiply that 15K by, what would you say, Lucas, like 10,000X?
Yeah.
They got him 3 years, 80 million.
Excuse me?
3 years, 80 million on the Food Network.
Does Guy Fieri Does Guy Fieri play in the triangle offense? And is he a shutdown cornerback as well? What the fuck am I missing here? How does this man generate enough wealth to earn himself roughly $30 million a year? To drive around in that convertible?
People love his shows.
Bro. I don't want to get morbid and I don't want to get depressing, but, like, some people have too much wealth. And you think Guy Fieri's doing the right thing with that extra, I don't know, 79,945,000 more than he's supposed to be earning? He's supposed to be earning $15,000 a year as a line cook at a Denny's. That's what he's supposed to be doing. Okay? And you hand that guy $30 million a year. You think that's going to be trickled down to the right fucking places? No. You're giving the wrong people too much money. It baffles my mind. Kenny Mayne doesn't have a job, but Guy Fieri makes $30 million a year eating disgusting comfort food, which I, by the way, I love. When I go to Yelp, I go disgusting comfort food, please. Like that's what I put into the search bar. So I'm all about it. I'm just saying like there's a ceiling on what should be able to be earned. I'm a capitalist, but there's a ceiling. You should cap that fucking profession at like a certain amount of money. And he's way above it.
If Kenny Mayne dyed his hair, he'd probably still be on TV.
Dude, $30 million a year. How many diners, drive-ins, and dives are there in America that he, you know, like what are we going to like? Are we going to see this man in a walker get out of the car and get into his Jazzy and then scooter into the, like, I mean, how long is this going to, but like, apparently not because it's 3 years. 3 years.
Yeah. So he'll get more in 4 years.
Oh my God. And that's when the Oprah network goes, here's a fucking Brinks truck.
Yeah.
I mean, I cannot look, you know what? I underestimate the country and the world sometimes. That's what people like. And I like it too. I just know that like how much that show should cost to make and how much everyone should be appreciative of the job that they have. Like Guy Fieri should be a line cook in Tampa at a Denny's. But instead someone said, here, we're going to give you a job where you get to drive your fucking, your convertible to different places and eat their food and criticize, you know, just eat it. And you don't even have to like make it or they'll make it for you. You just taste it and say how delicious it is. And we're going to give you $30 million a year for that.
By the way, Lucas, can you pull it up? Steve, have you seen a photo of him without the frosted tips?
Let me guess. Does he look like he's probably gorgeous. Oh, he probably looks like a model. And I'm like, oh is that God, Leonardo DiCaprio? Is that Leo? Oh my God, he looks like me. He looks like me if I let it go.
Yeah.
Oh my God, dude. Is that recent? Is that recent?
I don't know. You tell me, Steve.
It looks like you
right after back surgery when you were just piling everything in.
Oh my God, man. I mean, I'm telling you right now, I could easily get that fucking distended. Oh boy. I don't know which one I like better. I don't know which one I prefer. The frosted tips. You know, that's trying so hard to say.
That's the difference. You got to build your brand. You got to have a look. The guy on the right's the line cook at Denny's. The guy on the left is worth $30 million a year.
Yeah, like that's that's business. That's business Fieri, and that's fun Fieri. Mm-hmm. So you got financial Fieri and fun Fieri. And I don't honestly, I think both of them have a lot of fun. I think financial Fieri like doesn't go out. He just goes to like strip clubs after and spends a fortune on blow and like getting his dick sucked and stuff. But fun Fieri does that in a convertible at like, and he has sex with like the girls that work at the restaurants, the diners, drive-in dives. He's like, you know who I am. Look at my frosted tips. I mean, when did he go? Who told the guy on the right? I mean, hey dude, you know what would look really good? Like frost those tips, frost them out.
And a little piece on the chin.
And bring that goatee down to the fucking bottom. And I'm talking a whole different guy. He might have murdered someone. Like, did you see that the lady in the Dale? Like, that might be its cover up. $30 million that's mind blowing. That's unbelievable to me.
That's the bar. That's what we're all trying to get.
That's what Aaron Rodgers makes.
Yeah.
Do you believe his? Did you understand Aaron Rodgers' statement and or I don't want to say excuse. That's not the word I'm looking for, but his point of view as to the saga in Green Bay. Did you guys understand what he was saying? What did you take from it? Hello, Brenton.
I didn't see it, so I'd be speaking out of ignorance. If you're talking about the main interview, haven't watched it.
He just basically talks about how he's like, this is this. Yes, it is a team sport, and it is a franchise with a lot of history. But it's about the individual people that are a part of it that make it up, that make it what it is. And he thinks, I guess they've lost sight of that, you know, and that it's about the individuals and what they bring to the organization that makes it what it is. So, you know, obviously the FIGA, and he goes, the fan base is part of that, and the ownership and the not alumni, but the people that have come before us are all part of it. But the individuals who are here today playing and putting it in and making it what it is, that's who they should be more concerned with. So I don't know. I don't
necessarily agree with that. I mean, if you look at the entire history of the Packers, he's a blip in the pan, and he's done nothing but disappoint them. He's got one Super Bowl, yes, but the guy has blown it in the NFC Championship how many times? And
and look at the clip, because I don't want to take any because they're asking him like he's like, it's not about the draft pick last year, or you know, he's like, because I get along with Jordan, I like Jordan. Jordan's a nice guy, you know. So. And he didn't say it's not about moving up to get it, which is also another thing. Like, they moved up to get Jordan Love.
Yeah.
And, you know, remember this. When you pick a guy in the first round, you've got 3 years to figure out if that person is good or not. And whether or not you're going to pay them a lot more money, whether you make a financial commitment to them for many more years and a lot more money. You have 3 years to figure that out. So, you know, you're saying to Aaron Rodgers, essentially, like, you are not in our plans in 3 years from now. And the problem with that is that he threw a monkey wrench in by winning a fucking MVP. So it's like, well, now what are you going to do? So that is in there as well. But for him to say, like, it's not about all of that. It's about, I guess, individuals that, you know, he doesn't feel respected as a member of the organization, I guess, not just an employee. That's the biggest change, I think, in the last 20 years in sports. Maybe not 20, but 10 is that these guys have gone from you are a member of the team and that to you are independent contractors. These guys work for themselves now. And whether that was social media or whether that was, you know, branding and things like that, these guys are corporations and entities of themselves, and they will do what they want to do and what is best for their own brand. And that doesn't always necessarily mean that they're going to, you know, that those things are going to mesh with the organization. And I just think he is trying to bring a little bit more of that sort of attitude to the NFL. But the one thing I will say is that I'm glad at least I don't know how I feel about it, but I'm leaning more the fact that there could be a reconciliation with the Packers, because I think if it was like something that was like, no, this is done, dead, over. I'm not going back there. I don't want to talk about it would be like, I don't want to talk about it. Almost to the point where he's like, I'll do your last episode, Kenny, but you can't ask me about the Packers. Because it's done. I'm not going to talk about it. You know, the fact that he talked about it, I think, spoke more about the situation than actually what he said. Mm-hmm. So,
well, he's in Hawaii right now.
Yeah,
with Miles Teller and his wife or fiance. So that's kind of a, you know, kick in the throat to the Packers while they're doing OTAs.
Yeah, and again, by the way, you know what? Yeah, he should be in Hawaii. It's his 17th year in the league, 16th year in the league. He's the MVP. Yeah, you guys start practicing, and I'll be there in a little bit, okay? Jordan did the same thing too.
I hate to say it, but Tom Brady wouldn't be doing that.
Different thing. Different thing, dude. There are two ways to fucking skin a cat.
Allow me to share this recent Tom Brady tweet. Okay. Keep going down. He's just trolling Aaron Rodgers. Gotta love it. I gotta say, Tom Brady's funny.
By the way, and so is Brooks Koepka, because I don't know if you go to Brooks Koepka's Instagram. They just announced that they're going to redo the match. It's going to be Tom Brady and Phil versus Aaron Rodgers and Bryson DeChambeau, July 6th at a golf course in Montana, the match part two. And Koepka immediately writes out, sorry, bro, at Aaron Rodgers, that he has to play with Bryson DeChambeau. So, yeah, again, they don't like each other. But, yeah, there are two – Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers are – there are two different – Tom Brady does not have the physical and talent that Aaron Rodgers possesses, and he probably never did. Might have. At one year, one or two seasons might have. But the actual – but he has everything else. The intangibles are the personality, the ability to lead, the ability to motivate, the ability to attract, the ability to charm, all those things. Hands down. So that's what makes him equals, even probably him even more great. But Aaron Rodgers still has that ability to go out and win an MVP and be the best player in the league. And until somebody else goes, hey, you know, you've lost it, or you're, you know, he had the ability to call his own shots. And like I said, if there's anyone in the league, it's those two guys that can call their own shots and make their own decisions. They are tenured. So I don't mind that he's out. The only thing I mind is that get him like a something to hold the cat. Like, he did the interview on his phone. This is what his interview looked like. He's like, hey. It was like, yeah, hold, like, get a stand or something, dude. He's probably on a surfboard, probably fucking his wife or something, his girlfriend. It doesn't matter. I think that this is good that they are talking. It's good that they're communicating. LaFleur said the next day, he's like, I love Aaron. You know, we respect him as an individual and as a player and all the other things. We love what he brings to the organization. So I'm sure that they'll work things out. It'll be okay.
There's also no market for him at this point. So he's going to stay a Packer. Nobody's going to take him on it. The market's dried up. Everyone's good. I mean, unless he goes to one of the dumpster fires, which he's not going to want to do, he's going to stay with Green Bay.
Yeah, at least for this year.
But the GM
gets moved.
The GM might be out.
Yeah, the GM. Well, the GM, dude, I'm telling you right now, if he doesn't get along with LaFleur this year, LaFleur might be gone. I know he's a good coach, but if you continue to make these kind of decisions that, I don't know, infuriate your quarterback, whether it's on the field or off the field, that's, you know, at some point it's got to be one. Who's going here?
Yeah.
One of us is going. So.
But on the opposite end of talking about teams and staying put, I don't know if you saw Julio Jones went on Undisputed and was talking to Shannon Sharp, and he asked him, are you coming back to Atlanta? And he said, and I quote, nah, man, I'm done there.
Oh, really?
He's done.
Is he a free agent?
I think so. And then the saddest thing I've ever seen a team tweet, I don't know who's running Atlanta's social media, but the Twitter page put a link to the interview and said, you know, Julio Jones reflects on his future in Atlanta.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And they tweeted that out?
They tweeted that out. So I don't know if someone just like was an intern who was new, or was just, I gotta talk about it. It's just the saddest thing ever.
Like, yeah, but did you look at it? What is his contract status right now? Is he done? Is he like, this is his last year going into this season?
The Falcons are over the cap, so they
yeah,
kind of have to get rid of him.
Oh, so they have to cut him before the season.
Yeah.
They have to cut
or
him.
Trade him.
I think sometime in early June. And DeAndre Hopkins has already said he would restructure his contract in Arizona to get him. But he has said Julio wants to go and play with Cam Newton in New England, or he may end up in Arizona if DeAndre gets his contract down and they can afford him.
Now, how is that not tampering? Because a player said it?
He tweeted it. Yeah, he tweeted a photo of him with Julio and said that he would figure it out if he would come play.
But, I mean, don't you think, like, other teams would want to do the same? Like, don't you think that the 49ers, like Bosa, would say the same thing? Or, you know, like...
Not if he doesn't have that personal relationship with them.
Oh, all right. Well, I mean, I get. I mean, but these guys. I mean,
it's the
win.
Same thing happens all the time in the NBA.
Oh yeah, no. Trust me, I know. I understand the NBA
but
is
now
like,
we're going to see it. We're going to see it a lot in football.
More well, again, involved. It goes back to like these. They're individual independent contractors, and they want to be in situations that make them happy and play with people that you know that they like being around. I just don't understand how like. DeAndre Hopkins saying that if the GM said it, that they would be fined.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If the GM said, I'm sure there are players on our team that would restructure their contracts to make something like that work, that'd be a fine.
Well, that would be him tampering with other people's money potentially versus a guy saying, I would give up my money to have this guy here.
But really, what are you doing? You're just saying like, I'm sure you're speculating.
Yeah.
You're not saying like, I will force them to, you know, I will make it work regardless of this. You know, like, you just say like, hey, I'm sure people, but you know, basically indicating we would like to have you on our team. Mm-hmm. But if you do that, you are now, that's, you know, you're going to get in trouble for that.
Yeah.
That's tampering. But if a player does it, that's my point. Yeah, no, it's a, because I mean, where does Julio Jones land then? I mean, it'll be up to him entirely then, right?
Pretty much. But he seems to be leaning towards New England.
I don't know why.
Yeah, that's the thing. He made a comment about Matt Ryan's deep ball. Kind of the last few years, he's lost a bit. And it's like, okay, so you want to go play for Cam Newton? Cam Newton couldn't throw the ball 20 yards last year.
Or maybe he likes Mac Jones.
Possibly, but he specifically said he wanted to play with
Cam Newton.
Because
Julio Jones is an Alabama guy. Wasn't he an Alabama guy?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when Mac Jones was an Alabama guy, holy shit. Did we just crack something here, ladies and gentlemen? Holy shit. Maybe he's been going back to campus and likes to cut a fucking Mac Jones's jib. He wants to go down there and see how it fucking feels to get a ball thrown out in front of him for once in his goddamn life. How's that feel? Maybe. Who knows? I don't know how Mac Jones throws the ball. I mean, looks pretty good, you know, but I don't remember him having like a cannon for a fucking arm.
Yeah. But definitely a better situation than Cam Newton. And I don't know, Matt Ryan, I still think can compete, but he's not wrong. He's lost a little bit.
The NBA playoffs are on us now. The Clippers are down 2-0 and people are like, oh, should the Clippers? The Clippers should start to panic. Now's the time to panic. When you're down 2-0, it's panic fucking time. It's time to hit the panic button, especially to a team. It doesn't look like they have Luka Doncic looks like he could throw up 50 on you anytime, and no one seems to want to stop him. And they're supposed to be a great defensive team, the Clippers, and they're not playing great. And it's time to fucking hit the panic button. Not as much for the Knicks, who lost at home in a brutal fucking fashion. It almost looked like the last minute no one knew how to guard Trae Young. I don't think anyone knows how to guard Trae Young, but the Knicks better figure it out. One of the better defensive teams in the league. They've had 2 days now, and to figure out what the hell to do when this guy goes off or how to try to contain him so that he can't just do whatever the fuck he wants to do. Because to lose at home in front of 15,000 people, first time it's been that packed at Madison Square Garden, first playoff game in 10 years, first gathering in New York, and then, like, it was electric. Like, you, like watching that, like, I heard part of it, and I listened to part of it on the radio. And like listening to it on the radio is even better because you could just hear the defense. It brings me back to the 90s. It sounded like the old Madison Square Garden. And then they went out and fucking blew it in the last minute. So they got to bounce back tonight to, I'm not saying it, you know, must win, but they got to play much better tonight. Go ahead.
The Clippers, too. I mean, if they're out in the first round, Kawhi can leave after this year. And if he leaves, they're really fucked.
And it's done. Yeah, because it's the experiment's not working. You're not even the better team in Los Angeles. If they lose, which, by the way, the Lakers could lose to the Suns. It's, I mean, if the Lakers win a championship this season, LeBron James is, I mean, look, it is more of a super team than Michael Jordan ever had, but like at 36, 37 years old, because he's going to have, like, these are like finals games already in the first round. Mm-hmm. It's going to take a finals-like performance out of him to beat these guys in seven games. The Suns are not going to lie down for them, and it's only going to get harder. So what normally for him in the Eastern Conference was like, I could almost take off the first series. They were the one seed or the two seed versus the seven or the eight. It was like, whatever. Now it's like they barely made it in. They're the seven seed, and they're playing the two seed who doesn't give a fuck. No, like, to quote Charles Barkley, no one's afraid of them. So every game is a must win for them. He's got to show up every single game. If he sees Anthony Davis going off, well, then maybe he can hit the gas, you know, cruise control a little bit for a while. But from what Anthony Davis has been putting out there, he's got to go out there and win every fucking game. And for a 37-year-old man to ask him to do that is, what is it, 20th year in the league?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. So
Davis admittedly said he had to play better. He crushed last night.
Yeah, and I fully expect him to keep with that. But, you know, if he slips and goes away for a couple games, you will see. Either LeBron comes through and has like LeBron type games, or they're going to lose. I do predict the Lakers to win, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the Lakers are going to beat the Suns.
Everything or just this round?
No, seven games. The Suns, I'm going to take a series by series, dude.
Okay.
They'll beat the Suns in seven games, but I'm telling it, no matter who they're going to be beat the fuck up going into the next round. Tired AF.
Well, I think the only thing is because they were hurt basically all year, they're still lacking a little bit of chemistry. And there were moments last night where you could really see that. So I think they're a very dangerous team because they're only going to get better. And because they've been hurt, they haven't been playing the whole season. They probably have a lot more energy than some of these teams that have.
Yeah.
Some of these guys that have. So they are a very dangerous team. And there is a path that they could repeat. If James and Davis both play their game, they're going to be very hard to beat, especially as the entire team collectively gets better together. They're on paper, their talent pool is better than it was last year when they won.
Milwaukee's going to win over Miami.
You think?
Yep.
I hope not. I don't know. I just don't trust Giannis.
They will. But yeah, no, I'm telling you right now, this Lakers series is going to be tough. The Clippers are going to fucking lose. The Clippers are going to lose, and that's going to be real interesting. Going back to your point, Lucas, like, what's going to happen to them? What do they look like next year? Because it probably won't be pretty. I mean, if they lose
the best
him,
player in the league, hands down.
Who? Kawhi?
Luka.
Oh, Luka, yeah.
So there wouldn't be a ton of shame losing to the Mavericks, but yeah, the Clippers are fucked.
Yeah, but Lucas, like, times. Yeah. But they're letting Luka be Luka the same way the Knicks let, you know, Trae Young be like go off. Like, your job when you are the older, more mature, more experienced team is to make these young kids get nervous and get out of their comfort zone and not be able to feel like, oh shit, this is the playoffs. Like, I saw an article, like, Trae Young's dad says Trae Young loves being the villain in Madison Square Garden. Yeah, of course he does. It was one game and he fucking shut down a 15,000. But put him on his ass a couple times, make him feel out of his comfort zone, make him feel like these shots aren't coming that easy, knock him around like they did Reggie Miller for, you know, and then let's see how you like being the villain of Madison Square Garden. You know, he walked in and had no resistance. So, you know, it was... We'll see. Hopefully the Knicks can get a little tough and you know, the guy's not a big guy. I'm not saying kill him, but those drives to the paint, it's like, give me a break. Like, if it looks like it's going in, if you're going to foul him, let's fucking foul him. Let's not just knock him off his access a little bit. How about to the ground? So the ball doesn't go in. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it's the playoffs, guys. That's it. Go back and look at some of those Nick Heat series in the 90s. You got Jeff Van Gundy flying around fucking people's legs. Okay? It wasn't like, was that a foul or not? It was like, hey, should we call the police or not? That's what we're talking about here. This one, I'm not saying hurt anyone. I'm not saying get, you know, but let's take a page from hockey a little bit. Even in the playoffs, there's still some pretty aggressive shit going on. Tom Wilson and, you know, that Boston fucking Washington series. It's fucking gnarly, dude. And even in the playoffs, they're keeping it gnarly. Keep it gnarly, Knicks. Trae Young comes down the middle. He wants to throw up a floater. Great. Sorry, not this time. Knock him to the ground. And if it goes in, it goes in. But if at least you fouled him. And when he gets to the free throw line, it's going to be fucking limping over there. Come on, get tough. What else? What did I miss, guys? I think I did. I say everything I want to say.
I don't know. I got a couple pieces of new news. Larsa Pippen has an OnlyFans now. So
who?
Who's that?
Larsa Pippen, Scotty's ex-wife, who's dating like 23-year-old Malik Beasley.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Are you a member of the site yet or no?
Not yet.
Okay.
So she needs money.
So
apparently she didn't get much in the divorce. So,
he didn't get much in his career.
That's true.
I mean, to be fair, he was underpaid. But yeah. Let's just, you know, how much it is offhand? Let's just give her a plug. Why not?
How much I'm going to assume it's $10 a month. She's 46 years old.
She's how much?
46 years old. And I'm going to assume most OnlyFans are like 10, $20 a month, right?
I have no idea, but probably.
And there's other piece of info that just came out today. I don't know if you saw this, that apparently during Spygate, Donald Trump tried to bribe Senator Arlen Specter.
Yep.
There was a meeting with the prominent businessman in Palm Beach. He offered a substantial amount of money to drop the Spygate probe. And Arlen Specter died in 2012. This is being reported by his son.
Oh, yeah. And that man was Donald J. Trump. Now, look, I'm sure our esteemed former president is probably denying this accusation, even as we speak, via Twitter.
He's off Twitter. He's off social media.
He's just shouting it out a window and
facts
at Mar-a-Lago right now.
Yeah.
He sent a pigeon carrier out with corrupt media written all over it. But look, does it surprise me? No. Okay. But why? That should tell you right now how ridiculous people thought like Donald Trump was, that Robert Kraft's like, how do I get this fucking thing to go away? I'll call the most corrupt, manipulative, you know, disgusting man I know. Who would that be? Who could we get to go talk to a senator? Who would have the balls to go to a senator and ask that senator to stop doing the people's work for what they consider the people's work? Who would that person be? Oh, I know. Donnie. We'll have Donald Trump go down and do it. And of course, he's like, absolutely. He feels empowered by this. Honored that Robert Kraft would ask me to be the great Henry Kissinger to mediate this meeting of the minds. It's like, give me a fucking break. Do I care? No. Of course. Does it surprise me that Robert Kraft wanted Spygate to go away? No. Why? Because he didn't want everyone to know they cheat and they get an advantage any way they possibly can under any circumstance, because they're going to continue to do it till the end of time. That's how that guy operates. Does it surprise me that he chose Donald Trump? Absolutely not. Under no circumstances whatsoever. The two of them seem thick as thieves. They seem like they still call each other all the time. And I'm sure he's part of the reason the hand job video went away. You know, quid pro quo, my friend. It's like Tony La Russa and the guy that owns the fucking White Sox. They're going to be in bed for the rest of time. They're indebted to each other. You know, so that's it. And Spector, it's like, I don't even remember Spector as he was. Who? Why is Spector even bringing Spygate into the fucking public? Like, why were they in? Like, you know, was that really what a top agenda policy was of yours? Was to figure out what this fucking situation with Spygate was? Give me a break. But all of it is beautiful in the backstory of who our president is and what kind of person he, you know, and why he's so beloved by the world. How gross is that? But he loves it. I bet you he loves it. I bet you he loves it. He's probably down there in Mar-a-Lago going, they're still talking about me. They still love me. They love everything I do. Even when I'm gone, they love me. Brenton, I love your haircut, and I'm glad you did it.
Thank you.
Do you have gigs this weekend? Do you want to shout me out? Do you want to promote anything?
I'm going to be at Supernova tonight and Friday, and I don't know when I'm at the Comedy Store, sometime this weekend.
I'll see you at Supernova on Friday. I'll be there. Tonight I'm at the Comedy Store. Tomorrow I'm at the Ha Ha. That place is open again. We're doing shows in the alley outside. It's kind of, you know, come down if you're living the North Hollywood area. Yeah, and then Friday at the Supernova. So, and probably the Comedy Store as well. So, yeah. That, and then if you live in the San Diego area, U.S. Open, Father's Day weekend, I and Court McCowan will be at the Comedy Store in La Jolla, coming back down there inside doing shows Friday, Saturday. The Sunday show, Court's going to do. I'm not going to do the Sunday show. It's Father's Day. I'm going to go up and hang out with the family. Yeah, come down, check out the shows if you're around the San Diego area. Lucas, you doing shows in Austin?
Yeah, I got Thursday night, Vulcan Gas Room, and then Saturday night somewhere downtown. I'm not quite sure yet, but I'll post it.
So what a plug, club. Dude. What Sunday, a plug. Yeah. Somewhere downtown. Yeah.
Somewhere
Saturday,
downtown Austin.
At any time. And whatever it's going to be in downtown.
Somewhere so on 6th Street.
Perfect, dude. And it's not even a big street with thousands of millions of people.
No.
Well, awesome. Awesome. Great job, everyone. Look, we got through it without our beloved Princess Emma. I think I recorded this. Some lady at the beginning told me I was. So I'm gonna assume that I was the entire time. We thank you for listening. Please write us what you want, some suggestions.
Steve, sorry. What? Just to cut you off, if this doesn't record and people can't find it, we can always just take a picture of your sweat stains to prove that we did do an entire episode.
Dude.
You put in the work.
I put in the work, and I'm trying to wear natural deodorant. More natural deodorant. I'm wearing
that. Yeah, that doesn't work.
I cannot have aluminum coursing through my body.
Just get the Alzheimer's with the aluminum.
No, yeah. I can't have it. Brenton, I'm not my sharpest mentally when I have the aluminum. So I have to go natural, dude. And it's only really this arm. It's my left arm because I hold the mic with this one. This one's down. But this one, I'm like, you got to do this and don't fucking break my ball. So I gesticulate with this.
You're left-handed, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're left-handed. Makes sense.
Right? Come on now. Leave me alone. That's the podcast. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We love you very, very much, and we will see you and talk to you next week.
Go Bills.
Beautiful. Go Bills.
Thank you very much for joining me. How you been? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Steve Ranazzisi. I'm the guy.